Good morning, everyone, again, and may the peace of God be with each one of you. I would like to focus today your attention and my attention as well to the miracle of transformation and its role in mission to the lost world. Traveling through many different countries and parts of the world, I have seen a beautiful places and exceptional phenomena. I was amazed when I was returning back from the military service in Siberia, which is about 12 hours time zone from here towards east. I was taking the plane at 5 o'clock in the morning from city called Khabarovsk, and I was flying towards Moscow. And suddenly, when we just took off, I look back through the plane's skylight, and I saw the sunrise behind. But in the same time, I just turned forward and looked through the same window forward. I saw the moon and the stars in the same time. Several years ago, being at the Arctic Pole or cycle, I was amazed that I was in a day of continuous light. And I was expecting that the night will come and we will take a rest. And the first 24 hours we could not sleep. At the Swiss Alps, I was amazed by the beauty of mountains covered by trees and flowers. And in the same times, visiting a couple of months ago, visiting the Pamir Mountains in Tajikistan, I was overwhelmed by the splendor of the Rocky Mountains. Wherever and whenever I'm coming to your country, I am amazed by the green carpet, which covers the land that is maintained throughout the years. Our world is full of miracles. We just need to train our eyes to see them and understand what is going on in this miraculous world we are living. But the miracle that fascinated me the most is the miracle that attracted me and continues to attract me is the miracle of transformation of a human lives. I've known notorious thieves who, being transformed and after that, were ready to shed their own skin, as we used to say for generous people. They were ready to give everything they have. I have known also murderers who, having been transformed, became loving and sensitive beings from whose eyes tears always flowed when they remember their past. I have met people, human beings, who at the moment they met Jesus of Nazareth, they were different, they became different people, and they never were the same again. Today, I would like to point to two more miracles than we read. I want to invite you to meditate on the miracle of transformation of human life and its effects that follow from the moment they met Jesus of Nazareth. Written for the skeptical and proud world of Roman, the Gospel of Mark abounds in the narrative of the miracles of regeneration of human life. For example, in the first chapter, we read of the miracle of the healing and transformation of the leper. I remember once I was sharing this message in one of the churches, and when I supposed to drive to the airport, a person who was next to me, he said to me, you know, if you can imagine, I was healed from a leper. In chapter 2, we are reading about the healing of paralyzed man. Jesus forgave and heals that man, not based on his faith, but based on faith of other people. And the third case, when we read the Mark 5, we see about the healing and transformation of a demonized man. The Gospel of Mark, as I said, captures this important dimension. Jesus forgives sins, heals consequences of sin, and brings transformation. He changes the destiny of those people. First, although each case is unique, in the same time, each case has something identical. And namely, according to the Old Testament, the state these people ended up was a consequence of sin. All the iniquities we have, they are the results of sin. Second, each case of those three I refer to is characterized by the effect of transformation. Every person who met Jesus in those three cases, they had a different destiny. Transformation was so vivid in their life, they never been similar. Thirdly, the transformation ended in a new, a different destiny. Let's make a few comments on that. I will not refer to all the details, but I want you to understand the miracle of transformation and then see in our lives and apply it in the mission work we are called to do, God's mission we are called to do. The leper became an evangelist. As all of the sickness we have, leprosy is a consequence of falling into sin. But from the Old Testament, we learn that this disease was associated most of the time as a consequence of breaking God's ordinance. In the book of Numbers, chapter 12, we read an example about Mary, sister of Moses and Aaron. Mary rebelled against God, and her brother Moses, who had a slight speech impediment. Mary, by the other side, had a pleasant and clear speech. We read in the Bible that she even was a poet. After they crossed the Red Sea, she wrote a poem. But right now, she gets stuck and complain and rebelled against his brother, which was established by God to lead God's people. And God invited three of them, Moses, Aaron, and Mary, to the tabernacle. God gave short explanation to Mary, and then she punished her with leprosy for a while. In Mark 1, we read that this man also had this status of leprosy. And when he addressed Jesus, he didn't say, I deserve salvation, I deserve forgiveness. There is a short quote, if you are willing, you can do that. But according to his status, he should stay far away from other people and cry, don't come closer, I am unclean. It was a very difficult situation. He was staying from a distance and crying that. But right now, Jesus touched him, healed him. The leper was changed. And right after that, Jesus sent him to the priest to fulfill the Moses law. But according to the text, we don't see that he went to the priest. He was hurrying up to doing other things. He was hurrying up to share the good news. In other words, the effect we see here, he was becoming an evangelist. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news, the good news. As a result, Jesus could not longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely place. Yet the people still come to him from everywhere. You see, that effect, the leper's faith was instantly changed. Until he met Jesus, he was in a solitary seclusion. And whenever anyone came near him, he had to shout out aloud, "Unclean, unclean, do not come near me." After meeting Jesus, the leper is no longer in isolation, but has a new destiny. He is a man who can enter into relationship with his fellow people. Moreover, he has good news to share with people. Jesus has transformed his life, and now he has a new destiny. He is an evangelist. Second situation. In the chapter 2, just after this event, the evangelist Mark is sharing another event, miraculous event. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. According to evangelist Mark, Jesus specified that the paralytic carried by the four men had sins before God. The sins he committed dried face in a miraculous healing for himself. From verse 5 and 9, we understand clearly that he had no face. But there was four friends, maybe his family, I don't know, but maybe other good friends, they had faith in Jesus. Maybe they saw the leper who was cured. And right now, they are bringing their friend in front of Jesus. And we see, when Jesus saw their face, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." This is also confirmed in verse 9, when Jesus gets into a discussion with the Pharisees. When he said, "Your sins are forgiven," right away people started to complain. When something different happens, we are complaining. This is the sinful nature of man, to complain, even to complain when good things are happening. They said, "Who is this man who is taking the authority to forgive sins?" Then Jesus is a word play here. Jesus said, "Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'?" You see, although the Pharisees knew that the paralytic could only stand up in case his sins were forgiven, they were murmuring against the Savior. But Jesus gets straight to the point, saying, "Get up, take your bed, take your mat, and walk." Then Jesus say in verse 10, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." You know, I remember I met one of the students in Tajikistan years ago. He was very teeny. I didn't know his story. Then he told me that he was in prison. And being there in prison, the officials threw him out of prison because they thought in a few hours he will die. He had no, he was powerless, he was hopeless, and people from the church came, took him, prayed over him, and he is still a missionary right now. He was healed, and right now continue to serve the Lord in the city called Ragun in Tajikistan. It was a similar case like we read here. After meeting Jesus and being transformed by him, the paralytic becomes a cause of glorification for those around him. Everybody who saw him said, "Wow, praise God. He was paralytic, now he is walking." You know, we see the similar effect. Thirdly, in third situation, Jesus heals the demon-possessed man. The event takes place in the other side of Capernaum. Capernaum is considered the city of Jesus because Jesus did most of his miracles in Capernaum or around that city. But Gerasim's territory was in the opposite, and around the Sea of Galilee were about 9 cities and towns were surrounding that. In the original, the city is Gadarenos, which means the city of foreigners. Where immediately after Jesus reached that territory, getting off the boat, he had an extraordinary encounter. He was greeted by a demonized man. The demonized possessed came, worshiped Jesus, and complained to him why he had come to torture him before the time of judgment. That was the demons were speaking, not the man himself. And when Jesus saw him, he asked that these evil spirits will move out from him. Then Jesus asked a name, and the author is giving us the name to understand how difficult was the situation this man was living in. When Jesus asked, "What is your name?" a choir answered, "We are a legion here. 6,000 spirits, evil spirits." A legion is an army term. Legion, or legion in Latin, means 6,000 soldiers. And Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And a legion answered in a choir. As I said, the situation was out of the ordinary. An encounter between the Savior of the world and one of the fallen beings in a very degraded state. A person who trampled on all that was holy and pure. A person possessed by a legion of demons. What did such person look like? I don't know if you met ever a person possessed by a demon. I had several occasions on the mission field to meet some people like that. How horrible is that situation? The world of demons is not the world of harmony. Each of those 6,000 evil spirits were going against each other, and all the iniquities and punishment were laid on the head of that man who was possessed. We have a saying, say, the jars were smashed upon the poor man's head. Despite of the horror in which this man lived, there came a day when in his town, in the inner world he lived, a world of darkness and despair, the Savior of the world descended from glory. Jesus drove out the legion of demons, rescued the man who could not be held in chains, bonded in stocks, and so on. But the Lord Jesus set him free. And we have a different scenario again after that. That man started to plead Jesus to let him follow him, to become one of his disciples. In the phrase we read, he pleaded to go with him in a boat. I can paraphrase his ideas and say, my Lord, he used to say, my life belongs to you. Take me with you. I will serve faithfully you the rest of my life. What a reversal. A demon possessed, and right now a totally new, different man. Wonderful change. But then here comes the key moment. You cannot go with me, Jesus said. But I can remain in you. You cannot go with me, but you can represent me in the place you are living, in the place your ministry will be since now on. You can represent me in the part of the world you are coming from, and not only. And we read that in verse 20, Jesus, in 19 we read, Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Go to your folks. Tell them what Lord has done for you. You see, every person who has met Jesus, the Lord, became part of God's mission in the world. I met people who, after meeting Jesus, became poets. I met a Uzbek guy. He never write poetry. But since he met Jesus, he started to write poems. I met a person who never played an instrument in Azerbaijan. I think Brother Ron met him as well. He started to play a flute. He said, I never liked music. But after he became a Christian, he met Jesus, he started to play a flute and praise God in that. Having been set free, the demon-possessed man went and told his people, and not only his people. The other term which pops up in my eyes is Decapolis. Decapolis is a Greek word. And in translation, it means the League of 10 other cities. The League of 10 other cities. That means that this demon-possessed person was going to these 10 cities and sharing the good news. And I can imagine that before, he was visiting that cities as well, but creating problems there. Every people, when saw him, they said, whoa, let's run. I remember certain cases when we met such people. I remember in my childhood, we say, oh, the full man is coming. Let's run quick from here. But now this man is going into these towns and villages and cities and sharing the good news. After meeting Jesus and being transformed by him, the demon-possessed man became a missionary in 10 cities. In the same case, we see similar things happen with a leper man, was a paralytic and demon-possessed. Since they met Jesus, their destiny is a different one. From the moment they encountered the Savior, the state of their life was totally changed. The leper man became an evangelist. The paralytic became a cause of glorification for people around that person. And the demon-possessed became a missionary. You know, I don't know if you move further that, but I had in my case many times meeting and working with people like that who was dramatically transformed. In a while, they will come to me and ask a question. What will happen with my past? I have a new beginning. I have a new life. But sometimes I'm tortured. And I going back to my past and I reflect on it and say, Lord, what will happen with me? What I should do with that past? Because I cannot forget it. I cannot forgive myself. I know that God forgave me and Satan has nothing against me, but I cannot forget myself. And reflecting on that, I came to the idea that we are not forgetting our past because God wants us to be part of His mission. There is a strong missiological strong missiological point here why we are not forgetting the past. Because there are at least three things for me which helping me to understand even God never reminds me of my past because He washed it. The Satan has nothing against me because I am a child of God. I still remember the horrible things I used to do. But here are the key elements I want to share with you. The man is created in the image of God, or was created in the image of God. But we have an experience with a fallen man. If I will forget my past, I will forget who human being is. If I will forget my past, then I will forget who man is and what he is capable of doing. I will slip into hypocrisy. I will categorize people into worthy and unworthy for being saved. As a result, I will limit God's grace to the worthy through a humanistic perspective. And I will not go to do the mission among different groups of people. Secondly, if I will forget my past, then a kind of disregard for the lost and lose of life purpose will take place in my heart. If I were to forget my past, I would automatically become lazy, even uncertain of the loss in many, like me in the past. We were created in the image of God to show God's love, to care for the lost, to respect one another. But we lose these capacities at the moment we are living in sin. But when we are forgiven, we are restored to love our enemies, to love each other, to respect and care for each other. For that, I never forgot my past. Thirdly, the loss of the meaning of the greatest miracle happening in the fallen world. If I will forget my past, then I will forget about the most important miracle which is taking place in this world. The miracle of regeneration of fallen man. Every fallen man has a chance to be restored. This gives me the power to share the good news with people, because I know that the grace of God is sufficient to change a criminal, a prostitute, to change a horrible man, because I saw that happen in my life and in other lives as well. If I forgot my past, I would lose the value of the most important miracle in the universe. The miracle of regeneration, the human life. Then my lips would close and I would no longer be able to utter the most important words a sinner can utter. Christ Jesus came into the world to save the sinners, of whom I am the first. God changed us and called us to his mission. I want to finish with showing you a few things about the God's ministry in this through UDG and through people we are working with. As you see, the gospel of grace will be preached through the entire world. And I believe, strongly believe, based on the New Testament teaching and the Bible teaching, that every generation has its frontiers to expand the kingdom of God. Secondly, God himself established the frontiers. He opens the doors and creates the opportunities. If you see, all these arrows are showing that God opened the doors 30 years ago. When the Soviet Union collapsed, God opened the doors that the good news will be shared in all those territories. He created these opportunities, and all those arrows are indicating on the map. We have people study with us, and they are working today. We are working today, extending and expanding the kingdom of God there. Also, we learn that every follower of Jesus, an authentic church, should understand God's established mission frontiers for them. We have a mission frontier to reach in our generation. And me and you are called together to reach these frontiers. And we see a lot of things happen through that. From the former Soviet USSR, we have students who get training, going back, planting churches, starting theological schools. And the good news is spread. You see, a group among former Muslims formed here in Kazakhstan. Another group, another home church established in Tajikistan. And you see people in front of you. There also, a school was started in Tajikistan in 2003. We still run that program there. And extending the ministry, extending the kingdom of God in those places. There is the place where we meet a lot of people who were former criminals, people who were like paralytic and leper, and they are serving God Almighty today. Also, we have a new frontier to reach children in Tajikistan. Tajikistan is the fastest growing, has the fastest growing demography. Since in 2000, the population of Tajikistan was 6 million people. Right now are almost 10 million. In 2 hours, we were able to gather 400 people, 400 kids under 14 years age. They came to hear the good news. And the ministry there, in that place, in the mountainside, in the place I call it nowhere. because there is very little connection with the other civilized world. And a missionary there created a school container. He received containers with humanitarian aid and put them as on the different levels and created classrooms and a sport hall for those kids. You see inside, the containers have the doors where kids can study and be trained. Also, the ministry is extended among trophy girls. In this picture, there are girls who had children at 13 years old. But the kingdom of God is penetrating there, and the good news that they can be saved, they can be under good care, is there. Also, in front of you, the person who is looking towards this people, his name is Sergei Fedotov, former criminal. He spent 20 years in prison. And right now, he is one of the best missionaries in Tajikistan. If you ask a Tajik, a believer, do you know Sergei Fedotov? Everyone will say, yes. And what he is doing? Right now, he is working with drug-addicted people, once. Secondly, he works with teenagers, street children. He takes them into this mountain place where he is teaching them how to take care of beehives, how to provide for themselves. And at the moment when I said I met thieves who used to steal, he is one of them. He said, at the 6 years old, I was checking the pockets of people in the tramways and buses and so far. But right now, he is giving even his own skin for others. This is the gospel which worked in his life. Also, the mission of God is extended through summer school we organized together with people from your church, with Ron, George, and others. Also, the ministry was extended, the kingdom of God was preached in Siberia, Tobolsk, one of the most horrible places in Siberia. Then the new frontiers. You saw children there in Tajikistan, but these arrows are indicated to the special area called Pamir area. And this Pamir area is one of the isolated places in Tajikistan. It's very hard to reach. It's just near or at the site of Afghanistan. And even there are a lot of difficulties going on, the gospel is penetrating those territory. Pray for that. You see here the ministry among children in that territory. Also, just the river splits Pamir area with Afghanistan. And here we have a ministry again. A ministry started among refugees in Afghanistan. At the moment, in Tajikistan are 17,000 Afghani refugees, and students, graduates of UDG, are taking care of them. They are working. 8 people are working with 40 families. May God bless them and continue to help, give them wisdom to reach these people for Christ. And the last problem, which is our common problem, are the refugees from Ukraine. You see in front of you a family of a pastor from Donetsk, from Kharkov area. He came with his children, was 30 people in the family. He has his own 4 children and he adopted 2. And he came to Moldova because he was not able to keep his family anymore there. The young people remained there, but he and all the women with children came to Moldova, and around now we took them to Poland. Pray for them. And I want to just mention here that Ukrainians had the largest number of evangelical missionary in Russia, for that Satan is attacking that. Moldova has the second, is the second on number, but Ukrainians are the first. A lot of pastors of evangelical churches in Russia are coming from Ukraine. May the Lord continue to awake us up to see the harvest even in this difficult situation of crisis. And may the Lord bless all of us to stay together in His mission. Amen. If you want, also there are some books on the book on the table there to know how to work with Muslims, and special folk Muslims. It's a book written by Don McCary. Jesus love for folk Muslims. And also there is a other book written by Nancy George, Treasure in the Jars of Clay, and a leaflet here, How to Approach Muslims, the title is The Sun and Moon in Christianity and Islam, how to approach and how to discuss with them and how to share the good news with these people. May God bless you and thank you for your attention.